Yes, we've got open lines now for you on Coast to Coast AM. Just about anything goes. Let's try to stay away from politics tonight, but it's your choice. It's your choice. Oh, I got to tell you what happened to me today. So on my last trip to St. Louis, I'm going back to L.A., by the way, this weekend. But on my last trip to St. Louis, I noticed that in my family room, where there's a flat roof on top of it, it's been leaking water when it rains heavy. And boy, does it rain heavy out here in St. Louis. And I'm watching this water trail that went all the way down on the inside, looking at the ceiling. So I said, I got to fix that. Got to fix that. So I went up on the roof. This is on my last trip, about a month and a half ago. And I noticed a lot of cracks in the flat roof where water could seep in there and go right down. And, you know, and that was it. It was very easy to take care of. Just had to go and buy some, sticky tar roofing material and start spreading it all over that. But I didn't have time, and so I left. Now I've come back for 3 weeks, which ends this weekend, of course, when I go back to L.A., and I said, you know what, I'm going to fix this. So I went to Home Depot, picked up a gallon of this sticky black tar waterproof roofing material, and I had a ladder, so I put the ladder up there, and I go up the ladder, and I get on this flat roof. I'm carrying with me the roofing material, and I put that on top of the roof, and then I pulled myself up. It's kind of high, by the way. And so I'm up on the roof, and I'm patching it. I'm filling in all the holes that, are cracked or little things that I would see where the water could get in and get into the roof. So I fixed all that. And, let it dry and it's going to be fine. Now, there was one other area on the other end of the roof that water was seeping in and getting into the house as well. And that's near the gutter portion. So I said, well, I'm going to put the ladder over there. I'm going to do the same thing. And right by the eaves, I'm going to put this roofing material underneath there and seal that up. Perfect. Perfect. I've done that before. That's going to work. So I moved the ladder over to this area, and I'm up on the ladder, up about, 8 feet, something like that. I'm holding the roofing material, the gallon of that, and all of a sudden I see what I thought was a fly come buzzing by me, but it didn't sound like a fly. It just bzzz, bzzz. It's a yellow jacket wasp, and I'm going, oh, man. I look down, right? Keep in mind I'm on the ladder. I look down, and on this ledge underneath me, in the wood, there were yellow jacket wasps coming out of there by the hundreds. I'm on the ladder, and I get stung by three of them. In the neck, and twice on the arm. I drop the gallon of the roofing material. For some reason, none of it popped out. It's pretty thick. It's gooey. And I come running down the ladder as fast as I could with these bees all around me. Unbelievable. I have been stung once in my life when I was about 18 years old. I get hit three times today. Thank God I'm not allergic to it. That would have been history. And they're everywhere. So, it's my last night here in St. Louis. I call up the pest control folks, and I said, look, you got to get out there. They said, oh, Mr. Norrie, we're booked. I says, you got to get out here today. So they came out, and he had what was called a dusting machine. It's a long pole with this dust that they squirt into a hive or into a hole or wherever. In this particular case, it was in this wood hole that was there, which I subsequently sealed up. So he sticks this thing in there, and he's not suited up against wasps or anything, and he's never been stung. And he starts pushing this thing and squeezing it, and the dust starts blowing into this hole. And I kid you not, hundreds of these yellow jacket wasps come running out. including the Queen. He said he found the Queen in there. These things are flying out. But, you know, it's going to eradicate the hive. I hated to do that, but, I mean, they were right in the wall connected to the family room, which means they could have gotten into the house eventually. And that was that problem. But I have never seen so many wasps in all my life. Yellow jackets. Go ahead and Google them and look what they look like. They're kind of pretty. They're yellow and black, but unbelievable. But three stings. Haven't been stung since I was a kid. And these things got me this time. Okay, we're coming back in a moment with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast and the Open Line portion of the program now. Let's go to Elaine on our wildcard line. And she happens to be in Fort Myers, Florida. Hello, Elaine. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, George. I'm sure glad you're okay with no yellow jacket.
Oh, God. It's a horrible feeling, too, because you know they're on you. You know they're stinging you, and you're swiping them, and then another one lands on you. They were everywhere.
I'm sorry. I'm glad you're okay. That's a horrible experience.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just glad I'm not allergic to that stuff. Wow.
Yes. what I was calling about is the other night when you had Nancy Leader on, and mm-hmm. we were talking about the Zetas and contacting the Zetas and everything.
Yeah.
What something she said has really disturbed me. She was saying something about that when we pass over and whatever, that we just see a replica of our relatives. And when I die, I want to see my father and mother and sister and pets and everybody, and not just a replica. And but I don't know if I really heard the whole thing right. Can you expand on what she said?
She was talking about, you're close. She was talking about an image of, and I'm like you. I want to see the real deal.
Yeah.
I want to interact with them and everything else, and I think you do. I've always believed that. I think that when you go and pass over, your relatives who have passed over are there to meet you and help you along.
I hope so, but I don't want to see a replica or something. That was very disturbing.
Yeah. Well, we'll all know soon enough, won't we? Let's not rush it, but we're going to find out eventually.
Yeah, well, I guess we can tell the difference, I hope.
You got it. Elaine, thanks for the call. And by the way, we take your tweets and your texts from Tom as well. Let's go to David in Birmingham, Alabama now. Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How are you doing?
Okay. All is great.
Very good. I've been trying to get in touch with you for years. Like, I'm not kidding.
Oh,
I'm
my God.
Sorry to hear about you getting stung on the back, getting stung by yellow jacket.
Oh, my God.
Like,
did you ever get stung?
Yes. The last time I got stung was on the back of my neck.
That's like, exactly where I got it, plus the arm. It's not fun.
Oh, my God. That is the most worst feeling in the world. Like, it's that venom that hurts you.
And it's not just the sting that gets to you. It's the fact that you know you got an insect like that on you, and they keep coming at you, and you don't know if they're in your clothes or what. Well, it's just
absolutely
yeah.
But the reason why I was calling was I have been accused of being a psychic vampire.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I believe it now because, it was an ex-girlfriend that accused me of being a psychic vampire, and she said that I drained her, and, I have no control over it. And my mother, my own mother, said the same thing.
Well, are they right, do you think?
I think so, because, I'll be real tired, and then all of a sudden, I'll have some energy, and they just look exhausted.
Yeah. Most psychic vampires, David, do not know that that's what they are.
Yeah, and, I have no control over it, and, I also have psychic predictions that I have no control over. I predicted 9/11.
Wow.
Like, I didn't predict two planes going into buildings, but I knew that something was going to happen that day. And I even had called a friend of mine.
A lot of people had that kind of vision, and you're very intuitive when it comes to that. But, you know, back to the psychic vampire part of it, have you always felt that people wanted to get away from you after a little bit?
Absolutely. Like I said, even my own mother, like, she had told me that, you know, no problem. I'm sorry. I had just ordered some food and it just.
Oh, arrived. That's all right. What'd you order?
Jimmy John's. It's a sandwich. I don't know if they're.
Are they open this late?
Yeah, they close at 3 a.m.
Wow.
But anyways, my mother had. Had told me she was like I had found out through my ex-girlfriend that she had said I don't know what it is, but he just drains me.
Yeah, that happens.
And,
now
and I don't do it on purpose.
No, that's true. You don't, but it does happen. I had a friend of mine named Andy here in the St. Louis area, and I'd run into him every once in a while at a hotel lounge, and he was always by himself, David. Everybody else was on the other end of the room or the bar. And he said, George, I can't get people to come up to me. And I realized then the guy's a psychic vampire.
That is what is going on. Oh, my God, you just made me realize something else.
That's it. Now, there's a way to get around it. This is what I told Andy. I said, Andy, you got to change your life. You got to be more positive about things. You need to take control of things. And you know what? He had a better relationship, a better job. The last time I saw him, David, everybody was around him at this lounge. And he looked over to me and kind of like gave me a thumbs up. It was a great feeling. But that's it. Just practice that. Change the positiveness. Kind of illuminate yourself. And let's see what happens to you. Texts or tweets? Tom, what do you got back there?
Listening to you talk reminded me of that psychic vampire at our blackjack table, just so you know.
Oh, I'm going to have to tell that story.
You will.
After the tweet, I'll tell that story.
Well, we have a tweet from HK. It says, George, a few years ago, you reported that astronomers determined we are not in the Milky Way, but in a small galaxy colliding with it. Can you expand upon that?
Well, that was a long time ago.
It was.
That was a long time ago. I really can't expand upon that. I don't know how to answer that, other than there are millions of galaxies in the solar system. They're expanding, they're growing into a universe that is growing, but I don't know what it is. I know every physicist that comes on and I ask them those questions, they can't answer them.
But the Earth is not in the Milky Way, right? The Milky Way is separate.
No. We are right. Our solar system is in the Milky Way galaxy. We're right there.
Oh, okay.
You didn't know that?
Well, no, because the way I'm reading this, he's saying that we are not. We're in a. It's a small galaxy that collided with the Milky Way.
There may have been a collision. There's no question about that. But we are. Our solar system is now in the Milky Way galaxy. And that's the galaxy that survived any kind of collision.
Good stuff. I'm going to call Seth.
Okay. Let's go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana, whom I had the pleasure of meeting in New Orleans. Cornelius, that was fun.
Oh, was it? But I got lost, George. I couldn't meet you for the last thing at the camp.
Yeah, we met at the event, and then you were going to come to the banquet, and we couldn't find you.
Oh, no, I couldn't find y'all. But anyway, I really enjoyed it. And you know LSU won that night, so y'all better wear those caps so they'll win against
I'm going to be very honest with you. My son, who collects football caps,
uh-oh,
took it.
Well, that's fine.
So about that, but it's in the family, and it's a good thing. It's a good cause.
Yeah. Hey, okay, ladies and gentlemen, it was such a pleasure to meet George and Tommy. And I've got to tell y'all, they wanted me to say this. out of the God, Guns, and Gold, man, the Bible, Bullets, and Beads, man, to make sure that that was Cornelius White. So they wanted me to say that.
It took Tom a while to realize who you were.
And I had my Coast to Coast shirt on. So
I know it.
I was the only black fella there. But it was good to meet y'all. And I hope we can meet at another conference. So
yeah, I'm glad you made it up there. And what a great conference it was, by the way.
Oh, was it? Like I said, I really enjoyed it. I'd never been to one before. And I look forward to the one next year. I hope y'all come down next year.
I think we will. They're already talking about it.
You need to come to Mardi Gras. You and Tommy both.
Oh, man, I'd get in trouble there.
No, Tommy would keep you straight.
Tom? He's worse than me.
Oh, no.
All right, Corny. Be well.
All right, you too.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, he gave us an LSU. He gave us LSU hats. And my son came over a couple days after that, saw it, and went, I want this, and he took it. He collects all kinds of hats, Detroit Lions hats, Rams. Goodbye, Rams. They're not in St. Louis anymore. But the conference in New Orleans that he's talking about was the Oswald Conference, and the New York Times wrote a huge story about that conference and about Coast to Coast and the show. And we talked about that, how we believe Oswald was just, as he said, a patsy. But when you learn about the, you know, a month away is the assassination anniversary, when you look at all the players who knew each other, it's uncanny. Ruby knew them all. They knew all the players. And I'm reading a book by Lamar Waldron about the assassination where he is implicating Jimmy Hoffa. I wish I would have known that at the time when I interviewed Hoffa back in 1975. That would have been fascinating. Okay, let's go next to Mickey in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Hi, Mickey. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George.
Hey.
I wanted to kind of talk about what Linda was talking about there earlier.
Okay.
In 1972, we lived in a town in northern Indiana around the Muncie area there, a real small town. And I was 9 years old, and my mom came and woke me up at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and there was this black creature on our front porch, and it was about the size of an ape. It had a snout like a dog, and it would just scream these blood-curdling screams, and then it would start going, nah, 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 nah. Then it would scream, and I don't know if you know anything about coon hounds, but my father always had coon hounds, and he worked third shift, so he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And an old coon hound's not afraid of anything.
No, it's not. Then they go after big raccoons, too, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. And they were even cowering in their boxes. They wouldn't even come out.
Wow.
And my mom got me up. I was the oldest of six kids, and she got me up. And we were watching it through the front door, and it wasn't making any aggressive moves. It was just making those screams and then making those noises. But she got the pistol. She said, I'm not going to bother it unless it comes and tries to come in the house. Then after about 2 hours, she got one of the Polaroid instant cameras they had back then.
Mm-hmm.
And she put it up to the window and snapped the picture. The flash went off, and this thing shot off the wall over the rail about 8 feet into the front yard. We had the light on, about 8 feet into the front yard, landed on all fours, jumped up, took off, the fastest thing I've ever seen.
Jeez, what do you think it was?
It almost sounded like the wolf thing that she was
talking
about.
Yeah, it could have been, or a chupacabra, too. Hey, let's come back for more open line calls next. Well, Coast to Coast is live for you 7 nights a week, and on Saturday, Richard Serrett will be hosting the program. Sunday, our colleague George Knapp will be on for you, so make sure you're part of the show. Okay, let's go to our first-time caller, Gregory, in Palm Desert, California, to get started on this segment. Hi, Greg, go ahead.
How are we doing?
Good.
Been listening to you guys for quite some months now, in that work graveyard.
Super.
You guys were speaking on the Illuminati last night, And today it talks about extraterrestrial and UFO sightings. I've been reading a book by William Cooper, Behold the Pale Horse.
Oh, yeah. The late William Cooper. He got killed in a police shootout, but great theories and stories from him.
Okay. My question was, all the issues in that book you guys seem to talk about a lot. So is the book very accurate on the information that he...
Yeah, I think so. I think most of it was. And he was way ahead of his time, Greg. Sadly, he was a different kind of creature. I was told that, if he went out and he drank, he got tough. And something happened with the police officers, and there was a shooting involved, him to them to him, and he got killed in a shootout. It was a very sad story. But, yes, the information in his book, uncanny, very, very accurate, I think, very accurate. Okay, thanks. Let's go next to Jeff in Culver City, California. Hello, Jeffrey.
Yeah, hi, George. Thanks so much for taking my call. I appreciate it. I just wanted to say for the Coast to Coast record, George, I had this dream on September 30th, 2016, where I was running down Broadway in downtown Los Angeles between 8th and 9th Street with hundreds of people, or maybe even thousands of people running behind me. Everyone was cheering that Donald Trump won the election. These people were happy that he won. Now, I know you really didn't want to talk about politics and all this stuff tonight, but George, regardless of my dream, do you believe that if Trump does not win, for whatever reason, rigged election, shenanigans, media manipulation, etc., do you think that he will contest this election, similar to how Gore and Bush did in 2000? And when it comes to deja vu type scenarios, which is what the Coast to Coast specializes in, do you think this 16-year later deja vu was fate, predestination, or deliberately orchestrated by some strange script by powers that be? And I'll take your answer up there.
Probably great intuition. Indeed. Look, it's going to be a close race. I am not ruling out Donald Trump at all. I think it's going to be much closer than a lot of people think. It's not going to be a Hillary landslide at all. But in terms of if he's elected, what will happen? We shall see. Now, if he's not elected, will he contest it? I can't say yet. He has recently said he'll support the election when he wins, the outcome of the election, obviously. But, lots could happen here. The states could be so close. The Electoral College vote may not be enough. Anything could happen. And, look, we're going to get close to that event, that day. And don't forget, we're going to be live for 5 hours on Tuesday night, November 8th. Tom, last tweet or text for the night. What do you have?
This is a text. I like these. We're going to go a little light. Sabrina in New York City, two questions. Do you have a favorite dinner dish, and what are your favorite Girl Scout cookies?
Oh, I'll answer both of those. My favorite dinner dish when I eat light is a Middle Eastern salad. It's called the fattoush, and also a little hummus. I mean, that's great. But in terms of a straight meal, love turkey and mashed potatoes. It's my weakness. And in terms of Girl Scout cookies, my passion are the chocolate-covered tagalongs.
Are those the same as Thin Mint or different?
They're peanut butter cups.
No, oh, yeah.
Thin, okay, mints, those are the thin other mints ones. Taste like mints.
Those are the other
but
ones.
The tagalongs have the a top of peanut butter on it, and it's covered with chocolate. When I was a kid, I would eat a whole box with milk. And now I haven't had a glass of milk in God knows how long, but I still love those cookies.
You like
you
milk?
You cannot put a box of those in front of me without me going through almost the whole thing.
You don't like milk anymore?
No, I don't. I did a show years ago when I was a Nighthawk. Now I'm not going to go there. You just
turned you off?
It does. It does. Girl Scout cookies, what are your favorites? Those Thin Mints?
Yeah, probably Thin Mints if I have to eat them.
Is anybody selling the Girl Scout cookies at the network?
I think I saw one of the sign-up sheets. I don't know what it's for. Is it Girl Scout cookie
time?
Those
weren't for cookies. Those were for like popcorn and things
like that.
Oh, okay.
Then no, I guess not yet. There's a certain time of the year, right?
I order the some, by the way. I always want to support our staff and where their little kids are selling stuff. So I'll always do that.
I remember,
now, by the way, while I have you, and we'll go back to final calls in a second, how are we doing on the GoFundMe campaign for generating money to pay off some supplements for people who can't afford the criticalhealthnews.com?
We're doing okay. It's going to take a little time because these things are not easy to just get done. You know, it's a lot of red tape, to be honest with you, but it'll be done. And we'll get it done.
And you're
going to
administer this. This is going to be your baby.
We'll help a lot of people.
Ben Fuchs is in for $1,000 already.
I know. Oh, yeah. He emailed me. He said, I want to do this.
But I'll go $1,001.
I have to tell you real quick, going back to the cookies, I remember the first year somebody put a sign up on the refrigerator here at work. You, if you remember this, you're like, let's help him out. And you ordered like tons
$100 of cookies.
Worth of cookies. Yeah. So funny.
I like helping these little kids out.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
See ya.
Back to the phones we go. Final calls. Kevin in Corpus Christi, Texas. Hey, Kev, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi, George.
Hi there.
I got a couple questions for you, and I got a couple, and a story for you.
Okay.
Very story to go with the subject you're talking about. I drive cabs at night. Do you ever have a lot of cab drivers call up?
Oh, we've had a lot of cab drivers call up, and I've had a lot of cab drivers, when I've been in the cab, I don't tell them who I am, and they start talking about the radio show and Coast to Coast, and then I tell them who I am. It's kind of neat. But, yeah, we do have a lot of cab drivers who listen to the show.
Yeah. Do you ever get any good stories from them?
No, not really. Not the kind that I can put on the air.
Yeah. Usually that's what kind of usually things that happen like that. The other question, well, I've got a story for you about coming across something in the middle of the night. Real close to where you get, when in Los Angeles, I lived in Bakersfield and worked in Oxnard, California.
Sure.
And I would drive on I-26 going back to Bakersfield to I-5. And one night, about Friday night, I was driving about 11:30 at night and went right past Fillmore, if you know where that is.
I do.
Right outside, about 2 miles out. Came across where it looked like somebody had an accident. And skid marks and these car parts sitting there. And I saw something laying in the road, not right in the road, but right next to it. Thinking, what the hell is that? It's like a motorcyclist or something like that get hit.
Oh, God.
I turned my car around, came back out, and shined my lights on it. I thought, wait a minute. Is that a rider that's got a jacket on or something like that? I get close. I thought, well, maybe it's like a rolled up rug or something like that. Got about 10 feet. That's when I saw the eyes and the teeth.
Oh.
It's about a 400 to 500 pound bear that got hit by a car.
Oh my God. Splat.
That was all of a sudden went, whoa.
Wonder what the car looked like.
Car wasn't there. It looked like it just happened. The car drove off.
I gotta believe the car was damaged hitting a bear that size.
Yeah, the front end of the car, the front bumper and the spoiler was ripped off. I have a feeling they hit it. They got out of the car to see what they hit and realized what it was and took off.
You got that right. What a great story. Thanks. Let's go to Ron in Roanoke, Virginia. Squeeze you in here, Ronald. Go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening. I had a funny thing happen a couple of years ago. I was driving down the long open highway in the broad daylight in the regular lane, and I felt something come up on my left-hand side, and I felt like I was being watched. And so I looked out and I saw, this is crazy, about a 5-inch gold ball going along at the same speed as me. And I couldn't believe it, so I just kind of looked straight ahead for a second, trying to figure out what I saw. And
yeah.
The ball creeped up a little bit, and I said, watching me.
Can't say that. And Danny, you got that? Well, okay, we're rapidly running out of time. We only have Buck left. I got a minute left. Buck, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George.
Hi there.
Talk about synchronicity. In about an hour, I'm going to go wild turkey hunting.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. You say you like turkey?
I've never had wild turkey before.
Well, you got to watch how you cook it. A lot of people overcook them. They get dry real quick, but they're good. They're better than domestic, I think.
And you got to watch out for those little BBs, right, from the shotgun shell.
Yes, you do. Hey, listen, I was calling you. You're a very smart man. And this Elon Musk, who's a smart man, I think, he's getting a lot of mileage out of this simulated universe hypothesis.
Yep, he sure is. It's a very strange theory where he basically says, we're living in a matrix, we're computer-generated, we're not real, folks. It's a weird theory. I think we're real. I think we're very, very real. And we go through the trials and tribulations of life, but we're here, we're real, and we're not in a simulation.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.